listening to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
Take two. Happy New Year. Thanks for tuning into the newest episode, the first episode of 2020 of the Fun Uncle Podcast. I am your Fun Uncle Dude, joined today by your Fun Uncle Max Bett. Yes, sir. Your Fun Uncle Cooney.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh.
Heavy.
Going through puberty there?
Heavy.
And
you're real nervous about the list.
And your Fun Uncle Brandon.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's 2022, by the way.
What'd I say?
20.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. 2022. First day, like, we're actually recording on January 1st.
It's legit, huh?
Yeah. So, let's talk about personal things you guys are going to work on in 2022.
I fucking hate doing shit like this. I mean, everybody, it's there's so many memes and jokes about how we fuck this all up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not asking for resolutions.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, like what kind of like, you know, whether it's like I'm only going to fucking have fast food once a week, you know. It's not really a resolution, it's just something like a you thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, every year I do a bunch of... every couple of months I try to, like, revamp. Like, I already know what my, like... You ever been on fire long enough where, like, you know what your optimum mode of living is? Like, you know when your moods are set properly for whatever day you're going to have. And, like, you're just firing off in all cylinders. You're doing good. You're killing it at life. Like, I've had enough good runs of that where I know what that is. And just kind of making that list together is, like, what keeps you in that mode? I'm going to really, really put together... Not put together. Like I said, it's already put together, but focus on just keeping that list. You know what I mean? Like, really being disciplined to it. You hear so many things. Like, Elon Musk has his whole day planned down to, like, 5 minutes. His whole thing. 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes of it is, like, done up. And shit like that is, like, I want it like that. You know what I mean? At least to the hour. You know? Like, this hour, this is what you're going to do. Just kind of discipline myself with those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get up, get out, and get something.
There you go.
So I don't let the rest of my days pass by.
Yeah.
You know? And not spend time trying to get high. Because, you know, I'll never make it out if I don't try, you know.
Do you have this written down?
Is this guy rapping right
now?
No,
that's the get up, get out.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I understand.
So don't let the
it looks like you're looking at your fucking
reading
paper.
It off like you don't know that fucking song.
Not yes, yeah. I don't recall ever graduating at all.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
You know what you can work on this year?
What?
Stop fucking with your mic.
Oh, yeah. No, this mic is on a tilt right now for some reason. It's weird.
It works fine.
Okay, yeah. It sounds good.
It sounds perfectly fine.
Okay, all right, good.
Thanks to this goodbye.
All right.
Pass a Kovacier.
Kovacier. Fancy Fun Uncle Podcast.
You know, I always want to try to advance my position in whatever job that I'm working at. That's a goal of mine, to always advance, you know, in any job that I'm in.
Have that short-term goal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm going to start setting more short-term goals. In order to advance farther in whatever I'm working for.
How's the new gig going? Like, you don't say where
I love
you...
it. I'm not going to say where I work or anything, but I love it. The first week was all training. It's the first job that I've ever had where I'm not dealing directly with customer service, or I'm not doing hard labor. So it's the first job that I've had that's really chill.
That's cool.
And so it's a change of pace for me, which I like.
A kickback office kind of thing.
Yes, and I really like it. I like it so far, yeah.
The thing about those places I always notice is they'll let you get complacent because you'll see there's always a wide range of people in like the dispatch room, the call center room, whatever the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Like
yeah,
there's right. whatever kind of room you're in, there's always going to be like people not doing as much. Uh-huh. And if you're not careful, you'll be like, if I just do a little better than them,
right?
That's fine. Yes, it's like, that's a shit idea, right. bro. Like, yeah. don't do that no more. Don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
as an adult, I had to like really, really focus on not just being like a C-minus guy. Because I smile a lot. I'm a happy fucking dude. I do what I want. I got my own interests. I got my hobbies. I do this. So when I don't feel like I would always rationalize my shit attitude at a job because like I like my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's a lot of truth in what you've been hearing lately. A lot of those YouTube kind of guru mentors, Jocko and Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan guys, like those guys put together those kind of advices where it's like, you know what? It sounds counterproductive, I guess, to how you normally would put it in your mind, but being like responsible and taking on the most responsibility and being the most accountable you possibly can, there's actually more freedom and more happiness, fulfillment yeah. in that versus just kind of toeing the line and doing what you want. Because that's what all I did yeah. for fuck my whole life. And I was like, you know what? You have to do more. And it's work.
Yeah. What about you, Bet? You got any goals that you got?
He's like a Grammy, cuz.
you know what I'm saying? That, and, you know, I'm trying to, through the past couple of years, you know, I've been an artist. I've been rapping for, you know,
the whole time.
Years, you know?
Right, yeah.
So aside from that, though, to learn all the other aspects of it, like I had to quit smoking weed just to learn how to engineer and mix my music, and then production is a whole nother therapy. So I'm trying to master my craft, though, because first and foremost, the foundation is rap, you know what I mean? So it's tough, though, because you learn all these other things, and you're trying to combine them all together, and it gets overwhelming. So it's like I got to do what I do best, but at the same time, yeah, mastering my craft, time management. I'm well aware that, you know, you need to have a plan in life, right? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, maybe that's my biggest stress because I ain't always had one.
Like, you know, stop procrastinating more.
Yeah, it's like to build that actual plan. And, like, you know, it's like what Nipsey said, you know, about, like, just, you know, you are who you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you believe whatever you want to believe. And if it's in your own limits or inside of your head. So other than that. Yeah, man, I'm trying to accomplish things like that this year, you know, and become what I was born to be. So I could heal.
Boy. I love that faith in you too. That language makes me really happy, you know? I'm trying to be who I'm born to be. It's like, yo, that right there, just having that position in your mind, like, you know what I mean? Because that's pretty powerful. I'm trying to be who I was fucking born to be. Like, that's pretty heavy, dude. Man. Like, if you take that serious, there's no end. What you just said reminded me of that old, like, a Henry Ford quote. Whether you think you can do it or whether you think you can't, you're right.
Right.
Does that make sense? Let that little quick sentence hit you real quick. You're like, oh, wow, dog, that's pretty fucking high-end shit.
Yeah.
Like, world changer, dog, a world changer.
And it's like this. It's like, okay, I know that, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to hear, like, one of my bosses at my job that I work right now to invest in myself, you know, tell me that you know, what are you even doing working here, buddy? What are you doing working here right now? After he heard my music.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, it was kind of like a, like, what do you do now? What do I just walk away, quit? You know what I mean? But at the same time, nah, it's like I'm humbling myself and I've got more focus on just, like, I realized this, man. I was made to, music is to heal people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a doctor. If a doctor becomes a bum, you know what I mean?
It's a disservice to the world.
Right. He's not healing people anymore. So it's like, if I'm not making music, right, I'm aware that I was given a voice and a gift. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if I'm not giving that out and by making more music, I'm not healing anybody. And who knows who I could stop from doing drugs or.
Bro, yeah. If you stop, how many souls out there are missing out on your message? Like, that shit's real, man.
And it's like,
you're
robbing a great
storyteller. You've been through it. You know what I'm saying? You know how to teach shit. The kids and everything you've learned through
always a fun life, style, like, too. Even through the fucking mumble rap, everything that's ever happens, like Brandon always made it sick.
Yeah.
It's like I'm robbing them. I'm robbing them for that.
And you're robbing yourself, too, because it's like a therapy. Right. You know what
Something dreadfully fucking, like, fulfilling about it as well, of course.
Yeah, dude, like writing and rapping and putting that shit out, like your real feelings and everything. That's like a hard thing to do, to like tell the world who you really are.
Yeah, the insecurities, you know? And everything. Like,
yeah.
You know?
If you're being authentic with it, yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of people. You can front your whole way through the whole thing and deal with those nightmares and demons that come with that style. I think if you're going to pick a hard, everything's hard. Yeah. You do it this way, it's hard. You do it that, it's hard. So you got to pick your hard.
Think of it like this. Like, you got like these hot kids or whatever, like these hot, like, 18 or 20 year olds that make money on fucking Twitter because they're showing off their bodies. They're doing all this thirst trap shit, you know? And that's who they are, like in their head, right? But like, you have the ability and the talent to be a rapper and say shit, and the shit that you say in your raps is your image, and that's what people portray you as. Yeah. So every time you go out, dude, you can rap about shit and create your own fucking person, be who you are, and people will fall in love with that. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a dope rapper with, right. You know what I'm saying, skill, talent, and everything.
At the same time, you know what I'm saying?
So use your rap as like a thirst trap, like the way these fucking kids are doing it now with TikTok and shit.
People, though.
You feel me?
Yeah, but a lot of the times, like, you got to understand, like, as far as the truth is involved, like, I've honestly expressed myself through music. Like, I've always been honest, like, whether it was about my drug addiction or about a female or anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was hard because I had family members cut me off. Just because of how honest I was and what I was saying on these records from my name alone. You know what I mean? Like, it was like they wanted nothing to do with me. And that was really tough dealing with it. As a kid, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be, you know what I mean? But it's all right, man. You know, you move forward and, you know, I'll see y'all when I'm, you know.
Right. Hey, you got a lot of shit to talk about, man. Like, I'm excited for, you show me some of the stuff that you were working on and shit. And I'm telling you, dude, like, if you could, you know, figure out a way to put it out and work it, like, you know, like a good time, you know, I think that what you got coming up is going to be really fucking dope.
Thank you, man. I'm also learning how to be single again this year. So, ladies,
hey, that's a real thing.
After a 5-year relationship, you know, your boy is single. So I forgot, like, how to do that.
Like, dude, I get, like, I mean, like, I love my wife and everything, but, like, and I'm not trying to, like, put some flag in the ground of like, I wish I was single, but my cousin, I got a couple of boys that I take really serious, and they've been similar situation, in and out of relationship. It's over. Now I'm learning to be like, to me, that's like an adventure. Like, that's exciting. Your whole day is on you now. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, think of that, bro. Right. There's mad freedom in that, bro.
No shit,
and like, man, take advantage on building on yourself, grow the inner growth that's available to you now, since your calendar isn't connected to another person. Nothing wrong with that, dude. Having that relationship, that communion with another person, there's nothing more better. But since you're not in that situation, take that shit. Yeah. Take advantage of your time being your own.
Yes.
Does that make sense, bro? Like, it's exciting to be like, dude, cultivate your day. Yeah. What's going to make me the best me? So you can do that ultimate goal. I'm going to be the person I was born to be. That's a sexy sentence, man. I really like that.
And then talk about that shit in your raps, dude. And then and then it become reality.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I can make my bed and not blame somebody for not making it.
Right.
Hey.
This is, you know, your growth.
That's like one of that's a Peterson rule right there. Yeah. Like, hey, wake up, make your bed. Even before that book came out, that was something that I remember, like, in my mind doing when I first moved to California and try to, like, recalibrate my head and try to be an adult. Then, you know, what did I do before I got high? You know what I mean? Like, what was I doing? Yeah. I liked wrestling, skateboarding, and I read a lot of books. So I was like, fuck it. I'm doing those things again. Like, that's why I started skating again. That's why I watch wrestling still.
It's like the 24-hour work week kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
That stuff is sick, man. What are you doing, dude? How are you going to fix this year?
Well, first I want to say, ladies of the Las Vegas Valley, place your bets on MaxBet.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
That's the sickest fucking Vegas name in Vegas name history, by the way, dude. Sick. That's
Yeah.
I just see that button everywhere. That fucking
There's
button.
So much dope.
And it's so funny because it'll either haunt you or it'll be the best day ever. It's like, as an artist, that's such a fun fucking, like, landscape.
Absolutely. It's either you love me or hate me, literally.
Yeah. Hey, bro, are you a max bet guy? Dude, I can't fuck with that. Or they're like, that's the only thing I do.
Bro,
it's like that's hilarious.
Like Mac, just the name Max Bet could go, like, in all those fucking little shops that they have that sell Las Vegas shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could put Max Bet on that and make some dope Max Bet shirts.
It's just a red fucking button.
It would be totally Vegas, bro. Dog.
Yeah, you're right.
That's how you can make money like and that. It's, just fucking okay, go
don't
cop.
Give, don't give them the ideas. Right.
We're going to see that shit yeah, at the cut, little cut grocery little store.
Part off, but
copyright trademark.
Hey, dude, cut that little.
Okay. Hey, so. No, that's crazy that you guys say that because it's like, yeah, that it, the button can destroy you as well.
That's what I mean.
It's like so crazy. It's such a wide open artist.
It's such a fun little landscape that like, you can draw from. Dude, that's sick.
I changed my name to this shit, and I look at the button. I look at the button all the time, and I'm just staring at it while I'm gambling, just not hitting it. Like, am I ready? Am I ready? Is this me? Is that me right there? Like, it's.
Do you gamble like that? Like feeling more than math? Like, if you're at a machine, are you more, like, spirit than odds?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Dude, I get
people that fuck with fucking people that fuck with bar machines know exactly what I'm talking about.
Dude, at a slot machine, like, I don't try and do math. It's just I'm pressing the button. Let's see what happens.
That's interesting. No, I mean, like, just the max bet. Like you said, am I ready? Am I good? Is this the hand? Yeah. I'm going to hit the big one on? Like, that's like, how I roll.
Sometimes I'll do it, but it's like, I was like, oh, I just put in a 20. I'm not trying to lose my money faster.
That's what I mean. Max bet will ruin your life if you're not careful.
It is. That's
I've done that.
So
before.
I figured if I put all this time and money into this gambling, pressing that button, something great is going to come out of it. I promise. That's so funny, dude.
You know what I mean? Like,
fucking all in, too. You're all in, dude. Max bet all the way, bro.
I know this dude's seen me gamble, and it's like, you know, people like want to cry. I mean, like, I used to have
hands.
I used to sit and have a very bad problem. I mean, a very bad problem, especially when I got on probation and I was just completely sober. I was like, why do I?
How am I going to spend my time?
I saw him one time. What's exciting if I'm not doing that anymore?
Right. What am I going to do to make my brain go, today's fun? It's a really fucking gnarly thing.
Man, I saw Brandon lose $200 in a machine in under 1 minute.
Bro, if you've lived out here long enough, you've seen a ton of that, bro. Yeah,
we were doing that. We were ditching school to gamble.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I've been 6 foot a long time, dog, so this town ain't been shit to me for a while. They don't have. Once you pass that 6 foot range, they just stop asking, apparently.
How did that feel? You had to, everywhere we went, it's like, all the homies are little. Not one other big tall. You didn't have like Ryan Moore, which
Moore with the New York IDs. Yeah. Fucking hell.
All the homies were short. Issa was short. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Damn, that's crazy.
Vegas, baby.
Those are fucking days, man. Yeah. And it was easy, too, because not a lot of people care. And if not, then we would just go steal it. Like,
I couldn't even remember the word. Because me and dude went to a fucking, we went up the street to the shell. And there's these kids out front. And they were like on some like, hey, man, can you go in there? And I was like, dude. Exactly. Yeah. I grabbed him real quick. I was like, dude, what's word, remember when you go? And he's like, fishing. I was like, yeah, that's how old we are, dog. I forgot the word. I forgot what fishing was, because that was literally some shit we did all the fucking time, bro. You had like the one good salesman homie. Everyone picked him every time.
Yeah.
Yo, B, yo, you gotta, why do I gotta ask again? Dude, just go ask, bro. And like, for some reasons, some fucking 25-year-old kid jumps out of his Jeep, and he feels the vibe, and he's down for it.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Fish. Oh, that's some degenerate shit. This is what I was talking about, bro. Like, our childhood, it's not any... I hate getting like this because it's so subjective and there's so many different places that have different kind of cultures. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, our childhood was so gnarly. Hey, some of those fucking hood kids in New Orleans, so are those fucking South Chicago kids. Like, there's a lot of kids growing up, and it's fucking gnarly. But there is an angle of Las Vegas gnarliness.
That's just different
than economically bound. It's money-wise. How many kids do you know, 17, 18 years old, can run into fucking Bounty Hunter real quick, put in a 20, and walk out with 350? Like, dude, no one's doing that when you're a little kid.
It's the only place in the freaking United States where you could literally, like you're never going to be able to make money that fast anywhere else. Like, if you lived in, like, Florida.
You'd have to go to a casino 30 miles away. Right. This shit's at every corner store.
Investing in stocks. If you guys invest in stocks or anything like that. I literally was treating stocks like I was drug dealing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. I was waiting for that return so fast. Like, I was just like, because I'm from this town. It's like, I'm so used to
I've talked to people, bro. I do stocks pretty heavy, man.
And I made a mistake, though. So it's like,
how you do know you mean?
What I mean?
Oh.
Like, you know, because it was waiting. I wanted that quick.
Oh, you fucked
I wanted that quick, like, quick return. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Whitening petroleum was so low, bro, when I had so much of it. And
And bam, before you knew it, I was just like,
next day, you're like, this is bullshit.
Dude, I made $1,000 off it. I cashed out. And then, like, freaking 6 months later, I'm, like, ready to blow. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what the hell have I done?
Patience in that game is fucking key. If, you, yeah. if you're confident about a play, about a thing that's going to happen, put it in and then walk away for a while. Because if you stare at that ticker and you're from a place like this where that instant gratification and that instant money is something pretty standard around here. Because I've seen guys, all of the little forums that I'm on that talk about stocks and that sort of thing and different, you know, different styles of play. A lot of people are like, yo, man, ever since like Robinhood, Webull, like the idea that you can just do it for free and you don't need a broker, it brought the everyman into the game. The thing about everyman are some of them are fucking stupid. But like, it's not a value judgment on the human, but some folks, the cognitive shit is everyone's different. Folks have a different bandwidth. And you see how, like, a lot of folks treat stocks like a fucking slot machine. It's like, that's not how this works, dude, like, at all.
It's the patience.
And coming from the slot fucking world, it's like, right, yeah. I already had, like, an inside track on what, like, degenerate behavior with money looks like. Like, I know what shitty people with money, not shitty people, you know what I mean, though?
Right,
like,
right, yeah.
I know what degenerate money-making looks like, and I see a lot of that behavior and language in the penny stock game, and you're like, no, you're not thinking about this like a scientist. Because the thing, it works the same when you go to the sports book. You see a bunch of drunk homies with all their tickets laid out. Right. None of those guys are going to win. You look over to the booth with that fucking nerd, that guy who looks super stressed out on his laptop, crunching numbers, that guy pays his bills by sports betting. You understand what I mean? He's thinking it through, dog. Yeah. That guy is stressed. We've all walked by him. He's got his 12 tickets.
Yeah,
he's got two laptops and his cell phone out. He's going crazy.
While you're the dudes that are just all having fun.
Yeah, and we're sitting there with our drink tickets like assholes. Wondering why we haven't hit our 15-teamer.
You know what I mean?
I've met a few guys that just like, they don't even watch sports, but they still make money off sports betting.
Dude, no, the whole thing is fucking...
Oh, yeah, those are the ones that sit down with a laptop. They do it at the house.
Not even. I mean, just, you know, just, I don't know.
Type of guys that, like, they know of the New York Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, and the LA Lakers.
Well, there's always those guys. You go to the book, the sports book, and you see them. They're betting with their heart. They got the fucking jersey on, the hat on. They're screaming for every play. It's like, oh, so he's just here making the game more interesting.
Yeah, like,
he's
like,
not trying to make
like
money.
Like the Barstool guys, like what they do, they sit down and watch the games that they bet on, and
like,
they're just like fucking all into it.
I'm a fucking lifelong Dolphin fan. I would never.
I'd never get a ticket.
Never bet on them.
Blow a five-teamer with a fucking Dolphins pick.
I went through a stretch where the Raiders fucked me like 4 weeks
because
in
you bet with your heart like a stupid cocksucker, bro. See, this is the shit I'm talking about. You grew up out here.
Only time I'm a Raiders fan. Only time I ever won was when I bet against us.
It's so true.
It's That's real. What I mean,
Before
though.
They came to Vegas, mind you.
Yeah, there's like heart betters and then head betters. You know what I mean? Like people that use their noggin that are trying to do it a certain way. And then there's folks that just go with their heart, and they're like, no, dog, San Fran. And you're like, but that's a terrible idea. That's so funny. We're so off. What the fuck were we talking about? Trying to get our 2022 together? And then we broke in a conversation about stocks. Degenerate gambling?
Yeah.
That's not a good fucking
That's in the building, guys.
Yeah. I mean, look where we're at. I can see Sunset Station right now.
Well, see, that's the power that Sin City has over you, man. Shit, dude.
Well, it's just
you can't
another
help
tool,
but
man.
Think about it when you live here.
Yeah,
you know?
No. I
like
get,
the energy it gives
or
off.
Or the power you have over Sin City.
Exactly, man. Like, that's what I say. Like, use it as a tool sort of thing. Because
there are winners out here.
Yes, oh, yeah. No. Here's a thing that I noticed about like going to like the casino in general is I've had so many outings with just you by yourself or you and a homie on like a little run or you go out as a big group and da 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 da. No matter what kind of outing in the casino you do, there's a portion of the night where you're up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you never ever walk away. Uh-huh. And in my mind, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go on individual runs. I do the little because I don't like to have a lot of money. But you can do like the bubble craps. It's craps, but instead of having a $5, $6, the one you tried to show me.
Yeah.
I'll go in there and put my little 20. When that shit hits to fucking 32, I'm fucking out of there. Because you know what? And this is also a benefit because of stocks. Because in my mind, I do everything by percentages now. So if I put in a $20 bill and that machine gets to 40, I don't think of it like a gambler. I think of it more like a stock hour. It's like, that's 100%. I walked in. If you talked about that with anybody else, if you went to fucking Nebraska right now, I was like, hey, if you walked into a room and you had $20 and then 20 minutes later you had 40, what would you do? They'd be like, I'd fucking leave. Do you know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Like, that idea is... So I don't mind Vegas, man. Having Vegas right up the street and making a little $20, $30 every now and then, like, that's not... That doesn't suck. Plus, I got so much time in the addiction game. I know what the shitty cycles look like. I know what the darkness looks like. Fucking Vegas. What else we got going on?
That dude stopped coughing his fucking ass off.
Dude had a joint, so he's going to cough for the next 45 minutes. Actually, the pen is what puts him to fucking sleep.
Yeah. Interrupt the combo.
So, let me ask y'all a question.
Ooh, I love when people ask.
How would you say your 2021 went?
I really think we did good at regrouping.
I think it was perfect.
Yeah, I think for the family.
I think it was perfect. Yeah, I went through a depression spell, but other than that, everything was perfect.
That a boy. I like that. Good you for know what you, saying? Man. Yeah. You got that new fucking jobby job, and I think, son?
It's weird.
I think things are looking up. I think things are like going in the right good direction.
Keep it going, bro.
I agree. Like, it's been like a fucking wave for me. Because it's like... Got COVID, right?
Yeah, I got COVID as well.
Can only go up from there.
Yep.
Fucked a porn star.
Nice. Which one?
But then a month later, my dad died.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Overall, like, not terrible.
Strikes and gutters.
Yeah, yeah, it was like for every up, there was a down, you know, and vice versa. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was
all right.
It shows you that it could, that like, for as bad things could have got... You know, it always was better.
That's what I mean. Like, dude lives in my house. So, like that's what I meant. I was like, the family did some really good regrouping. You know, this last 2 years hasn't been easy for anybody if they've been paying attention. You know what I mean? If they have anything to live for, then this last 2 years got a little scary, dog. There's a lot of new dangers out there, a lot of economic uncertainty.
And I feel like everything's just about to go up now. I think there's nothing
I hope so too, man.
To make anything
I hope so
worse.
Too. I actually feel it in my gut as that is to be the truth. Rather than last year, when last year started, people were like, "Okay, we're out of the shit." 2020, I was like, "Nah, this isn't over yet." Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I didn't feel close. Like this was the end.
It's getting worse.
Now I feel like there might be some better stuff.
They introduced it was the insurrection. You know, that was the very beginning of the year. Last year, first fucking week of the year. So, like, there's a lot of, and I feel like this is very calm right now. I feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do feel like there's some regroup. I keep my my perspective really, I talk about it all the time. If you pay attention to who's in your living room and who's at your dinner table, if your world is that big, the responsibilities are just bigger. It's better instead of worrying about what's happening nationwide.
In three years, there's going to be something crazy going on. Like something major is going to happen in 3 years. Watch, I guarantee it. Mark my words, in 3 years.
What do you like? See, like, that's the thing, man. A lot of people think like that. Like, I don't want to base my life thinking on like all the bad that could happen or things like. It's like, you know, when you go to a funeral and you're like, am I just sitting here waiting to die or paying bills to live and things like that.
Whatever.
Like, I don't want to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right? Like, and other than that, though, it's not easy actually fighting and struggling and suffering for what you love to do.
That's what I got to say it again, man. I'm telling you, with that, with what you just said, if you just focus on, if your whole world and responsibility and accountability revolves around the people in the living room and the people at your dinner table, That's a tight-knit world. Those are people you do life with.
Right.
Yeah. And keep your goal sets around improving those groups. Yes. Dinner table in the living room, man. If you're not in any of those, I don't give a... You hear what fucking Biden... Do you hear what... Listen, dude, unless it has to do with fucking Bartlett Elementary, dude. Do you know what I mean? Like, unless this is a fucking post from my daughter's school or something in the community or something happened in Green Valley or Henderson, I don't fucking care. And I know how well, you got to care because, you know, these things trickle down and they affect you. I get that. But my dad told me something that fucked me up when I was a kid. So I used to ask him about, you know, when I was a kid, I read a bunch of Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, all these kind of prophetic things. And then there's this big Middle Eastern war. So I got this anxiety as like a 9-year-old that the fucking world's going to end because Nostradamus said so.
Dad, that's bullshit.
Bill Clinton's doing this. I'm a little kid. And my dad sat me down. He's regular, bro. And he was just like, Brandon, I've been alive X many years. There's been this many presidents. All those tragedies, not one of them has ever fucking changed my
day. And all those tragedies happened in 3 to 4 year increments.
I mean,
that you just mentioned.
No, yeah, but I'm just talking about like just when you start worrying about like the stress of keeping the global landscape in your mind is like that's fucking crazy. That's something that my dad laid out. He's like, listen, there's been a lot of presidents in my day. My day was the same. I got up. Had to go to work, or I had to get up and get a job, or I had the day's the same, man. So when you're letting all of your attention go to things that have almost nothing to do with you, and I understand people go, but these big politics trickle down and it's a big deal. It changes the culture, and you got to be aware. Listen, I know what you're talking about, but I'm talking about for the day to day cycle. If it's not for my living room or my dinner table, right. I don't fucking care. And I got to tell you, if your living room and dinner table's full, that's enough stress, bro. That's enough. Making sure your kids are doing well and growing into good people. Harboring a relationship with your wife for a lifelong endeavor. Like, dog, these things are fucking hard enough, man.
And you know what? It's a commendable quality, man. Like, I admire, you know what I mean? Like, I admire that because taking it from somebody who's, pretty much, you know, on my own. You know what I'm saying? Like, not even that it's a bad thing. Like, I'm enjoying my freedom.
Again, back to the excitement of having your own time, bro. So that's sexy. That's fun.
So, if you want to know, like the answer to the question, how was my 2021? I would like to look at 2020 was like too good to be true. Like, I accomplished all these things. I mean, credit scores, got a car, freaking quit smoking cigarettes, completed probation. So many things for music videos.
That's high-end personal shit, man.
This is 2020. Now, 2021 hits, and I mean it was like, I could look at it as like a downward spiral because I lost my girlfriend, my best friend, same couple months. It's like, you know what I mean? And it's like, these are all things that I could look as a negative thing and that could weigh me down, but I don't have a car no more.
Right.
I have a job where I work on the other side of town, and I don't even want to work this job. You know what I'm saying? Now, these can all be like, call the ambulance. You know what I mean? But instead, I'm looking at it as like 2021 could have been one of the best years ever.
I'm a conqueror, bro.
Because
you're learning to be a conqueror. Yeah.
This is what 2021 was a lesson. You know, if anything, that's the best way I could describe it. It was a lesson to me in my life. Like, what? You know, now it shapes my future. Like, I have to live in the moment. You know what I mean? Like, if I think about the future or the past, I'm screwed.
Bro, you can't make it at one goal that you try and achieve if you can't do something to make up for that. Like, do the work so that you can work on your dream on the side.
Right. Well, and it's like, I have my own
energy. That's one thing I always wanted to get into. More energy for something to become that.
If you're not putting energy into something else to try to achieve it. Like, if you need a job to make money to pay off some shit, like for music, so you can promote shit and do things like that to get your name out there.
That balance is so interesting.
Then you're not ever going to do it. You have to sacrifice for it. Right.
Yeah.
Because it takes money in the music industry and things like that to put shit out and promote it. Well, if you're not willing to put in the fucking work outside of that, like with the job to fucking, you know, supply what you need for it, never going to happen.
What were you saying?
Drawing those lines is something that I always get interested in because there's something fantastic and magical about an artist from 15 to 25. But then, like, in my opinion, like, you really find out who you are character-wise for an artist from 25 to 35, because now it's like there's different economic responsibilities. Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe you even had some kids. And it's like I've seen so many guys who like won't cut off a piece of their soul to turn it in for the 9 to 5. You understand what I'm saying? Yo, I need to do it. So I see those guys like humping bags at the airport, or they're working the call center, or they're serving tables, but they're also trying to put together the pieces to make the art dream together. And those guys are always infinitely more like inspiring to me, but I also see a lot of young ones where like they simply won't cut that chunk of soul. And I get it. I'm using these words deliberately like cutting a chunk of your soul out. That's heavy.
It is.
But in my mind, it's also dreadfully necessary because the world keeps spinning and it doesn't fucking care.
Right.
Rents do, dog.
Yeah,
and rents do. It doesn't give a fuck how clever you are or how much you deserve. Or
no.
You need but to make I spent my you whole need life, to make that check.
I spent my whole life thinking like acting like the world owed me something. There's some bull
it's, stuff. It's a sketchy.
It's a big
transition.
You shouldn't
be like that, right? It's hard. It's a big
transition. People don't understand that because I was privileged too growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I was given a lot, whatever. It took me learning the hard way that the trap is all bullshit. There's no real, like, all this drug selling shit. That shit doesn't work. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to end up in jail. Nobody gives a fuck about you. They're going to ask you for money that you don't even have. They're going to be like, a source hearing. I said, what is that? What am I, Scarface? Like, what the fuck?
Right.
I gambled all the money. What do you want from me?
That's
you know what
funny.
I'm saying? Like, at the same time, like, it's the trap. It really is a trap. I don't know who said that, but quote to whoever did. Shout out to whoever did.
Yep.
Aside from that, like, I don't have no shame in my game. I've accomplished and bought way more studio things and invested in myself musically working a regular job. And I'm not afraid to say that.
I feel like you understand what I'm saying. Do you have any moments where you were just kind of like, you took that, to me, it's like taking a knee to the world. And as shitty as that sounds to any creative, artistic spirit, I feel like there's a time where, depending on your life situation, where you kind of have to haggle that situation where it's like, you know what, I'm going to take, I got to get this fucking job. I have to sacrifice a chunk of my soul, a chunk of my time, a chunk of my motivation, my brain power, my bandwidth.
Absolutely.
Do you know any young people in the game that frustrate you because they won't do that? And you're kind
of
like, dude.
All of them.
Fuck you.
A little bit, right?
That's why I asked this. Because I don't see a lot of
dude,
world hunger where it's like, you're not really trying to get this.
My two cousins, I love them to death. One's my cousin Push, appreciates the art, writes and everything.
Right.
My other one is, you know what I mean? He has the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know what I mean? But he's still, you know what I mean? Like, they both, there's not many flaws other than, like, how bad do you want it, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I taught myself all this shit.
Yeah.
I was doper than everybody. I know I'm dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Amen.
I used to feel like everybody should record me and make beats for me and all this shit. Dr. Dre's going to come knocking at my door. That shit ain't happening. Mm-hmm. You got to get the fuck up. You got to learn this shit. Learn how to mix your shit. Figure it out.
Yeah.
That's
what you can do it too.
And that's the best message I can give to the youth. It's like, nobody's going to do it for you, man.
Bro.
Like, I sat years miserable, like, thinking somebody was going to send me beats or help me out.
When the fuck is Kanye going to hit me up?
Right. You know, the better you are, trust me, the worse it gets.
Yeah, because now that you know, you have this fucking, like, overwhelming confidence that you are that top 1%. But you're not in that group.
No.
And you're like, this is bullshit.
Right.
Did you guys see that shit? Lil Xan is suing his manager or whatever. Dude, did you know that fucking Lil Xan, his manager was Stat Quo?
No.
Remember Stat Quo?
No.
He was with Shady Records.
Yeah, I know who you're
talking
about.
Stat Quo, he was with Shady Records. He did the Shady 2.0 album. He was all over that and shit.
Whoa.
Okay. He was Lil Xan's manager and shit, dude. I thought that was the weirdest thing.
Your train of thought makes me so happy and frustrated at the same time. We'll be talking about one thing, and you'll jump into something else, and I'll be like, what's the connection there? And I'm a pretty smart fella.
It was something
but
Brandon
I can never
said.
Make it. He just pops into it, and I'm just like, what the fuck is he talking?
Well, it was Brandon.
He just found this out today.
No, Brandon said something, and then you guys
so Brandon talking. Said something 5 minutes ago. And you developed a thought, and then you busted it 10 minutes
and
later.
I waited for your conversation to be over
His brain went, oh, shit, jump in here.
Yeah, because it was something Brandon said, and I was like, okay, I'll just jump in
No, because it's always interesting, and I'm always happy to hear it. But then in my mind, I'm always like, what the fuck did that have to do with what we were talking about?
Yeah,
but it did have like a couple minutes.
Totally, and that's why I had to say.
It's like, were you holding that one in? Were you waiting for that?
Yeah, right.
Like, instead of chiming in on the
guy, trying not to fart in front of his girl in the elevator and shit.
Like fun fact, like mother Brian.
Fun
Brian,
fact.
Brian's got the Reader's Digest of hip hop.
That's so fucking funny. Oh yeah, the little fucking things in the corner pages.
What were we talking about? What did
no one knows, Brian, because you got to tell us about Lil Xan.
Oh, yeah, Lil Xan. Okay, his manager.
We're stuck between Lil Xan and trying to remember who Stat Quo was.
Yeah. But we were talking about management, I think, or something.
Maybe.
It was
no one knows now.
I think a manager
I think we were.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll you know what? I'll listen to this again tomorrow and then try to pin what he said. Just
oh man,
love it.
Like, it's all right.
Okay, so that was
probably no, but like, that stuff interests me though, especially with artists. Like, I really
so,
does. Like
10 minutes ago, so
yeah, I agree, bro. Like, yeah. Bro.
Okay, all right. So Lil Xan though, he fucking he's.
Why
he's no because it's just a funny story. So he's it's fucking out there.
God damn it!
He's like, I got four. Fucking
funny. This better be
he
goes, good.
Is he vaccinated?
No, he's like, I got four. No, it's not funny. It's he's a
is he pussy, vaccinated?
Dude, he's a fucking bitch. Like if I ever saw this kid, just I swear go. To God, I would go. Fucking bite his nose go. Off.
What is go. Happening?
Fucking he. So he says, hey, I got 4 months clean, and I'm really mad because when I was on tour. He mind you, he's on tour. With fuck, did you know he's on tour with Nicki Minaj and fucking
none of this matters.
It's a story.
Wait, how the fuck is Lil Xan on tour with Nicki Minaj? Fucking
because none of this makes sense. Which was the part of our whole conversation.
So now he's saying I would go through withdrawals and stat quo. My manager would go run around and get me Xanax all the time, and I'm taking him to court for something.
Because he so he's like those he bitch motherfuckers that like sued fucking McDonald's for making
yeah, and
fat.
He's trying to fucking sue his manager because this kid was fucked up in the head and made his manager he's go out like, and buy the shit for him hey, so bro. He could perform.
I took like an hour out of my
he
day
deserves
once.
A raise.
Yeah,
like
that's hilarious.
And now he's trying to take his manager to court for doing that for him.
No, I saw a taste of that.
And that's just like, what the fuck? Who yeah. are you, dude? You're a fucking pill head. Like,
okay. Bro, I read fucking, know? I read that whole fucking text thread, the like the last day there's Mac Miller was alive, some, and that shit made me sad. Yeah. When it comes to like management and people in the game, I was like, everybody on that thread is on some money shit, dude, and they don't care that they're destroying lives.
It
left
is the most dirtiest
right.
game, dude. Like the closer I got to like industry people, like the worse like people get. Like first of all, you
felt
gotta think
that shadow.
They got money. You did it right. You did feel it right. It's crazy. Like so, when you have money like that to your expense, you will pay whatever just to have it on demand. Like you know what I'm saying. Like George yeah. Clinton comes into town. He said he'll send my homeboy out, and he goes, "I want everything. Find everything you can." Like you know what I'm saying. Like. And they're out searching. I mean, I would go out searching. I'd be like, who? Justin Bieber, middleman, wants bars. I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm running through the whole town trying to figure this out. So, you know what I mean? Like, and just that alone should tell you, like.
It's just about keeping
the power,
the money machine
the power
up.
That they have.
No one's concerned with the actual life, the spiritual, the mental, the physical health of these people. Is of no consequence.
Well, it's the music
just
industry,
about,
man.
Fuck industry. This is how it goes in general.
Yeah,
do you understand right. what I mean? Like, if there's an individual in this country that that has the ability to make a gang of money, they are susceptible to fucking shark puppetry, fucking all the demonic. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. fucking exorcist yeah. style shit. Like, it gets dark with these folks, dude. Like, you're open to all of that. It's fucking scary, man. Like, that's what I mean. Like, the arts are so appealing, and you want to get involved, but you see that once you get into the higher, the upper echelon of the stuff, it's not. See, I don't know, man. Sometimes I think I'm not proud, but I think there's a silver lining in having 90 notebooks full of art, songs, yeah. poetry, screenplays, all this stuff. I've written so much shit in my life, and I don't have like a woe's me story because I've never actually ever tried to put it out anywhere. I never tried to get a song producer. I never really did. It's just writing for me because I like it, blah, 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 blah. And I always wonder, like, why have you never really tried? And then we talk about the things we're talking about now. It's like, because the kind of spirit and the behavioral patterns that you have, bro, if you would have got sent up to the top row of this kind of thing, that's a wrap, dog. There's no fucking way I get out of that clean. There's no Bobby Jane, for fucking sure. There's no Eli, and it's like, no, I don't know a world without those two things. So, yeah, man. Maybe it's good the notebooks got burned and fucking buried. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's that butterfly effect kind of shit in a way.
Yeah.
Man, can we get to these fucking songs?
Yeah.
Brian Stern, yes.
I was going to say.
Hole in his thing.
Let's.
I think Brian should just do his 10, and then maybe we should just comment on them, because he spent a lot of time.
I just spent a lot of time. Yeah,
he did. He
made me feel. So let's.
Yeah, he did.
Let's get right to the main event.
Well, it was only, what, like, it was 30 minutes.
So.
Figure this out.
This week's topic is, I wanted to get a sense from you guys. I asked a question. If you were teaching your nieces and nephews about hip hop, but they wanted to learn about,
right? They see a VH1 Behind the Music,
yeah,
on '90s fucking hip hop beef, the East Coast West Coast beef. It's a 5-minute little thing, but it sparks their brain, and they're like, "What? Wait a minute! Uncle Brian was alive during that time. Remember, Uncle Brian?" And they want to know about that little era. They like the attitude, the fashion. Just something about them sparked their brain, and they want to know more about that piece of time of hip-hop, that mid-90s East Coast, West Coast beef, when, you know, a lot of people say the second golden age of like, hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Yep. And with that, in your infinite wisdom, you decide that it would be best they learn about it if you made them a 10-track mixtape of that time period. So from 1994 to roughly 1997.
It's a small window. It's a small window. Yeah, so the kid comes up super stoked on the thing, and Uncle Brian's going to make them a fucking 10-piece to give them the lay of the land. What's that 10-piece look like?
On that 10-piece.
I'm so excited. I saw a chunk of it, and I was like, oh, he worked so hard.
Mine is kind of like, Crystal Palace skating ring.
Bro, that's what I was thinking. I looked over at Brian's list for a second. I was like, he's destroying this. I was like, mine looks like every 90s hip-hop list on Spotify.
He took his time right now.
Yeah. Look, Brian, his page is color-coordinated and shit.
He said, I know they're going to fuck with me.
Brian, what's on your list? Funny.
Go ahead, B.
My first one is... Dear Mama Tupac,
Nope.
Me Against the World.
We're going to get in trouble for that.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead. Go through the list.
We got Tupac, Dear Mama off of Me Against the World. And then I got Ice Cube, Today Was a Good Day.
Fuck, that's a good one.
Yeah. And that was off the Predator album. Then I went Outkast, Get Up, Get Out. Suddenly play a list of Cadillac.
Fuck you, man. Did you have any, like, while you're picking this list, did you have any, like, not politics in mind, but yeah, politics in mind, where you're like, okay, not they want to know about this 90s East Coast, West Coast beef, or did you just pick stuff that fit within that window of time?
I don't think that was my, I didn't go political this. I wanted to give them the best, like, you know.
So instead of filling their mind with the beef, you're just like here's what hip-hop was during that time.
Like, hype, like, you know, like, kind of knowledgeable, you know, like, just growing up. Like, everything, you know, like, teach you to grow up, teach you to fucking, you know, want to have fun, teach you to, like, you know.
So not really nothing to do with the, you know, East Coast, West Coast thing.
Like, live a good life.
So what's on the rest of your list?
And, Jay-Z, The Evils, from Reasonable Doubt.
Is that the last track?
Don't even know that fucking album exists, I think. You know what I mean?
Is that your last track?
My next one? I had Scarface, Make Your Peace.
Scarface gets no modern love.
Doesn't.
He gets no modern love. If you grab 9 kids that are born in the 90s and ask them, hey, is Scarface a good rapper? They'd be like, it was a good movie. What do you mean rap?
I could have put. This is the one where I kind of wanted to make a statement and give a song that is really dope by him, but maybe might not get a lot of respect. Because there's a lot more Scarface or Ghetto Boy songs that I could have picked out that were better, but I think this is one that people might not have ever really listened to enough to realize how dope it is. So I just wanted to shout that out.
Bro, it's, I, like I said, I don't think there, a lot of kids even know who the fuck Scarface is.
This song is up there, that, you know, an underground song that is just as good as his shit that everybody else liked.
He was
some
Houston shit, right? That was his thing?
So what's next?
Yeah, so Texas might like him.
Then I had Brother Ali, Bad Motherfucker Part 2.
In 90s?
That, Brother Ali was not in the 90s. That song is not from the 90s.
Oh, shit.
See? Damn. This is why we have criteria,
that's,
right?
That's the, okay. Okay. I only put that just because I've been bumping that for two days straight.
I put that because it's fresh on his mind.
And then, yeah, so.
Brother Ali took a time out. Right. The DeLorean. And, so, and we're back into the 90s.
I swear to God for two days that song was on repeat. Right. For the past 2 days, this song was.
This feels like Nas. It's so Hustle.
But I didn't even think that didn't come out in the 90s. Like that didn't even.
Okay.
That,
so, next song.
and then I got DMX Slippin'.
He had to find a way.
Flesh of my flesh. But then it could have been Rough Riders Anthem or I Can
Fly. I actually had that on my list.
With Slip, you know, that. Yeah. But I put Slip in just because, like, that's kind of like, I guess, the way I feel, the way
it's got more gravity.
Slip in is kind of like how I feel, and it's also kind of like how society is now, and it's just like, so, but yeah, Slip in is kind of how I feel, and I think it represents a lot.
Is that the last one?
No, that's 7. 8 is Cormega, The Saga, off of the album.
I'll give any kid $15 if you tell me any other song by Cormega without Googling it. That's what I mean. He's like, I wanted to put a Cormega song that people like knew. It's like, nobody knows any Cormega. Dog, it's 2020 motherfucking 2.
Definitely hasn't put out shit. If you find somebody who knows a Friday quote.
I know. Like, you're true, dog. Yeah.
I start recording Friday, and I feel hella old.
Like, that's kids so at work are just like, what?
I swear to God, I went to the liquor store, I handed a dude 20. He goes, 20, 20, 20. I said, Cindy Simpson.
That's funny.
Swear to God, that happened on Friday.
What do you taste like?
He tastes like, fuck, he tastes like,
What?
Oh shit! I'm trying to think of fucking
just next track. Oh man, jump into the songs, Brian.
Tastes like Friday. Fuck. I don't know. Big Pun, Still Not a Player.
Okay, Endangered Species. That's his super popular one, right? He still crushes, apparently.
Indeed.
Of course, dude. He's crushing everybody up in heaven right now.
Digging the crate records, man. Mm-hmm. That shit was real.
And then my last one was Gangstar. Moment of Truth.
I'll take it.
Or we could have done Above the Clouds, or Robin Hood Theory, JFK to LAX, The Militia, Wait, I'm Here.
See, Betrayal. You picked artists and then filled in the songs.
Yes, you did.
Ow.
So, you picked 3 songs per artist.
No. But Gangstar, Moment of Truth, though. Off the Moment of Truth, though. Right.
So I want to go next because mine's actually kind of similar to Brian's, but really? I did have... At least the beginning. I did at least have the beginning tie into kind of what sparked this whole fucking era. So for number one, I got Biggie's "Who Shot Ya."
That is the beginning.
Yeah,
that's the beginning of the whole fucking. I mean, technically, with songs, I think it was like a big part of it, right?
Yeah. So, with that said, number two is Tupac's. Hit him up.
Yeah. Yeah. If those two, I mean, if that's the criteria for the list, one of those two has to be on every list. A little bit, just to explain to the kid. Sure. Your totally niece wants subject. To know what it is. Yeah. Here's what the fuck happened.
And so the rest of my list, the rest of my list up until the end is kind of like Brian style, where it's just like good shit stuff during that period. Yeah. So... up next, I have Old Dirty Bastards, Shimmy Shimmy Y'all.
Shimmy Shimmy Y'all, yeah, Shimmy Y'all, Shimmy Y'all.
And that's the reason why, because it's so fucking fun.
It's the funnest song.
Yeah, you went my fun route,
Up next, I have KRS-One with Rappers Are in Danger.
Yes.
Good for you.
And that would, you know, that's the song is actually kind of prophetic to what.
What was happening?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hella yes, Fools sir. Got clipped. Yeah. Remember, Doc? There was like a nice couple summers where it was like, wow, rappers really
I was gonna go that. I was going to go that route too, but.
So then I had to go with another fun one. Snoop Dogg's Gold Rush.
What?
Yeah. I like that song.
What's up?
Yeah.
In what sense?
It's just.
It's one of the better ones off of Dogfather, in my personal opinion.
Okay. All right. I take your word.
I'm interesting. Gonna, I'm, go ahead. Right, I'm, yeah. I'm gonna, okay. Look, I like it.
Brian, he
got a pen in his hand.
Repeat that. What was
Snoop
it?
Snoop Dogg's Gold Rush.
Gold Rush?
Yep.
Nobody right. knows more than two songs off Dogfather.
I don't know what I was about to say.
All he's right. out here bringing it back.
All right. Because I think like I agree.
Gin and Juice 2 and Gin and Juice. Brian might be
one of the only people to bought it.
Right.
So another fun one, you know, that I think. I have Bone Thugs with yes. Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, that's
it's the fun song. It's so group. Fun yes. to listen
it's
to.
It's so yes. fun. Especially when it was new and you heard it, you're like, these guys are crazy.
Oh,
these
man, I could went with like Hip Hop Parade too. Man, there's so many good
songs. Naughty by Nature should definitely they be have on to this be list. Fun?
No, but like it's just a song that hey, like,
it's cool. It's
we try
it's
to draw version. Criteria, but we end up fucking it yeah, up.
Our
every
version
time.
Of '90s, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically. Then I go a little East Coast here. Mm. Nas, New York State of Mind.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Followed by Jay-Z's Brooklyn's Finest.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Not ha- yeah. Not yes.
Number 9, I got Tupac's Ambitions as a Writer.
Yes.
So I have Pac on my list twice.
Fuck yes.
I mean, if we're doing a hip-hop, East Coast, West Coast beef, yeah. I'm sure Tupac should have a couple yeah. mentions.
And number 9, I think will probably surprise you guys, but I did it because it's so different than, you know, what you think of that time period
okay.
where it kind of signifies like an end to all that.
Yeah.
So number 10, I got Missy Elliott.
Ooh.
The okay. Rain. Super Duper oh. Fly.
It's the rain.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, hey.
That's when Timbaland yeah. started taking over the world.
Yep.
Remember him
that
and Magoo?
Yeah.
That CD Magoo. Was fucking. Timbaland and Magoo, that CD doesn't get no love. And dude, that CD is fucking kind of fresh, bro.
You know, hey. What they say? Mad props for that one. Fuck yeah. yes.
Y'all like my list?
I like this
beautiful
a lot.
List.
Yes.
Thanks.
I'm going to rip mine up.
Thanks.
All right, I guess
what do you got, B?
Okay. Let's go first. I got you know, OPP by Naughty by Nature.
Tretch needs yes. more love on yes. this list.
Yes. Tretch yeah. is a monster.
I am so glad you are answering the songs put out that one, I would have put on.
They put out one album,
20 tracks,
and it's a timeless album. Yes. And it still on, plays dude. Everywhere.
Yes,
Naughty by Nature only has one album.
Pretty much.
Is that a real thing?
Two
that I know of.
So there's two, but one's the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
I mean, Tretch
still
makes Tretch still happy. Makes music. I mean, Coolio, shout out Coolio, came by one day and
love it.
You know what I mean? Was talking about he had songs with Tretch and he was showing me. I was like, that's amazing, dude. I can't wait to hear those. But anyway,
this is a nice. Great. This is a great 30-40 track mixtape, right. dude. So fucking awesome because you guys are putting. Shit I would have put on.
Oh, no, I got you. So number 2, I got Passing Me By Farside.
Woo, love it.
Farside,
that
a
like,
boy.
That yeah, fucking yeah. love. Farside. I used to love listening to it and watching every yeah, beautiful yeah. girl pass me by yeah. and get through my day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Really
definitely.
Positive, good shit they put out, man. They
was
were
amazing.
Sick,
yeah,
amazing.
Farside, Jurassic 5. Like, there's a nice little couple groups that did really well.
They were on my last list.
Yeah, number, yeah.
Number 3 was Ice Cream by Wu-Tang.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just like, you know, like the description of a female was couldn't have been more.
Isn't that a Raekwon song?
Yeah. It was on that album for sure. It was on that for sure. Number 4, Regulators.
I got that one. Okay. Bro. So, that song was the best song
and it was
ever
the beginning of a whole new sound, bro. Like that was when G-Funk was created. It was like the shit. Number 5, you know I had to throw Gin and Juice on there, which was like the first rap
Snoop
song.
Snoop deserves a
more
slot
credit
anywhere. Yeah.
And he deserves it. More credit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people wouldn't have been nowhere without Snoop and I agree with Glasses Malone on that one, you know what I'm saying? All right. So number 6, oh man, I had to put Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Attaboy. They got Grammys for that.
That is yeah. like that's the one that's like, you know, that can either yeah, it'll always just
so you can't won't be lonely.
Right. You can't not get a feeling from that song no matter where you hear it. It's crazy. Number 7, Can't Knock the Hustle by Jay-Z.
Mm. Hell yeah.
That was almost on my list.
Hell yeah.
Okay, number 8. All right, Brian, thank you for this one. Scarface, Never Seen a Man Die. You know what I mean? That's one of
incredible.
The
incredible.
And then
I didn't give that one to you.
No, you put me onto that. It's album though, The Diary.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's definitely stole it from you. Let me see.
I definitely.
Number nine, I put Tupac. Keep Your Head Up. Like, you know what I mean? Nice. Like, I'm like, yeah, we've been degrading women so long, ladies. Don't worry, we love you. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I mean? Some of y'all can still be some bitches. anyway, keep your head up. I had to put Tupac, Keep Your Head Up on that one. Because it's like, it had to be hard to do that in a time where everybody was degrading women.
Exactly.
Yeah. To literally uplift them. Yes. Like, what he did was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then number 10, I mean, this second verse by Andre, dude, is the most favorite verse of all time. It's Outkast ATLians. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
excellent choice.
Andre is, like,
I just think that, I don't know.
Yep.
He's talking about, it's just, it's amazing. Go listen to it.
That is a timeless, like, verse. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's amazing.
BK, what you got?
Nothing, man. I fucked up. I don't got much. I saw everybody doing their work, and I was like, man, I looked over my list, and I was like, this looks like a bitch-ass, like, 90s hip-hop Spotify. Fucking, like, do you know what I mean? I got real... They're like Regulators, Cream, fucking Biggie, the N-word, Bleed. Remember that song? I was trying to explain it today. I found it. It's the one. To me, it's the greatest storytelling fucking hip-hop song ever. He starts with it's him and his buddies doing a job. I liked it because he didn't center himself as like the main guy. Like, he was getting this information for some mob shit. It's Biggie. It's called fucking N-Words Bleed. And but the whole thing is fucking today's agenda, put the suitcase up in the scepter.
Dude.
Dog.
Yeah.
And he tells a whole story, and I give out Arizona Ron from Tucson, got the black Yukon, dude. And he tells this whole story about robbing motherfuckers, because he's getting it from like mob guys. And they're like, we know how you do it, Frank. You know what I mean? Like, don't rob them.
Yeah.
He gets told by the mob guys,
one
like,
of the
hey,
best
man,
storytelling
don't
raps
fucking
of all
rob
time.
Them. Just yes. do your job. Yeah. Give them the money. Get the fucking kilos and get out of there. And then he redoes the math.
Agree.
If me and my boys pull this lick, here's the math. This is all in a song. Do you know what I mean? Like, so when people, why is Biggie the greatest?
Yes,
I always point him to this song. So I'm like, find me a story better. Find me a story where you can put this on, shut your eyes and listen to
that's bar none, dude.
And
that's...
you see a movie.
Yeah.
You're watching a movie happen. Who does that?
Yeah.
They all do it pretty well. But this song is like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
It's a pretty intense movie.
Yes,
so I was pretty proud of that one for some reason, just because I wanted to be like an East Coast, West Coast kind of thing.
The whole like basement little sound vibe almost to that track that he had in it almost.
Here, you're talking about a guy with, like, an impact. It's almost like some James Dean shit. James Dean made, what, 3 fucking movies? Biggie made 2 fucking albums? People still talking about him like he's the greatest. 2 albums. He died when he was, like, 24.
Yeah.
We're all way older than that, dog. Like, that's crazy. He was on top of the world when he was, like, 22 years
that's
old.
Crazy.
Think of that, bro.
I'm almost
that's
double his age
crazy.
At this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, think of that. The amount of time that Biggie Smalls had on Earth, I've almost doubled. I don't know if that's like impressive to him or depressing for me. I don't know. Probably a bit of both. But and then I had the Rough Riders anthem. I wanted to stray away from like the beef and just show them, because the beef was bullshit. If you talk to anybody about that time, when Snoop was on fucking Rogan not too long ago, he was talking about how that whole beef was super media manufactured. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was trying to show YouTube clips of them, like, hanging out, that whole little thing. Daz, Corrupt, Snoop, fucking Biggie. They're all on stage during the beef. And it's like, we were friends. We're in hip-hop. We enjoy this form of art. And we were really, really good at it. And it's nice to it's nice to enjoy something and be around people at the top of the field. You know what I mean? And if you're part of that group, it's fucking nice. Yeah. And they just wanted to experience it as artists, as people that are pushing the rock up the hill. But it didn't go like that. It didn't go. It turned into a big fucking war. And
what we saw
was
fake news.
I think Suge Knight had a lot to do with Biggie getting clipped, to be honest. Like, I think Tupac fucked up and stomped out a guy who he didn't take serious and paid for it later.
Yeah.
And I think Biggie went to a city
story,
with a really, really mad fucking group of people and got taken out. I really think Suge is petty enough and powerful enough
100%
to have Biggie fucking shot up in L.A.
It's pretty much already a known fact.
From all, you know, I've seen several documentaries, and from what I gather with my fucking internet fucking... That's so funny. I talk about this a lot. Remember when we were kids, there was just book smart and street smart?
Yeah.
We're going to have to teach our kids that there's book smart, street smart, but then there's also internet smart, where... Mm. You know a lot of stuff that's not true. Street smart was more of an inference, a spider sense, understanding people, looking around and knowing what's really happening in the room, gauging the vibe, the temperature, street smarts. And then there's book smart, understanding things, like reason and logic, where, well, these two things and these three things make those four. You know what I mean? Like book smarts, but now there's internet smart where they talk like they're book smart, but they're talking incorrect facts. Does that make sense? Like, there's a weird little new fucking dilemma out there. And that, like, I think how I'm going to tie this back to the East Coast, West Coast bullshit is, I think a lot of that got caught up in, like, media hype. You know what I mean? Like, no one was really actually that fucking mad about anything. None of the actual players.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, none of the people involved really... No one on death row really wanted Biggie dead. I mean, I hope not. As grown-ups now, they say they don't. But who the fuck knows? These are 25-year-olds talking crazy shit. Yeah. I don't know how any of these kids get out of it.
Who's your number? What was it? Your number three?
The Biggie song. I only put five of them down.
What's the other one?
Regulators, Cream.
Oh, yeah.
Biggie, and then the Rough Riders anthem. And then for the last five, I wanted to do more of, like, because that's when the indie, that's when the backpack shit really started picking up.
Yeah.
I wanted to find that Slug song where he does the whole alphabet, but you don't notice it. That was my favorite thing. Was it, you know, Brian liked to get in the car back?
You couldn't find it when you Googled it?
I didn't know.
You know what that reminds me of? Like, doing the alphabet without you even noticing it is kind of like, it's like a tongue-in-cheek, almost funny, similar to that Tool song that I had you guys listen to where it's the recipe for chocolate chip cookies in German.
Yeah, and everybody thinks it's like this crazy, evil fucking song, but it's really just... Yeah, no, I really enjoy that. Slug does this whole thing where he raps, and the whole thing is he does A's, B's, C's, D's. He does the whole alphabet, and you wouldn't even know it unless somebody grabs you and tells you. I would do that all the time. I would grab people and be like, hey, is there anything peculiar about this song? What about this song is interesting? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Just listen to it. Tell me if anything grabs you. Nothing. You listen to the whole thing. No one says nothing. And then you'd start it, and I'd go, hey, the aftermath analysis of my... You know what I mean? A bunch of A's. B. The bad... And he would do... The first time you heard it, you would never notice that. But when someone showed it to you, you were like... Holy shit, A, B, C. He's doing the whole fucking alphabet. So that was going to be my introduction to the idea that hip-hop was growing, because of the internet, hip-hop was growing beyond Interscope. You know what I mean? It was growing beyond like fucking Def Jam. And like there's other guys doing their own shit. And I really think the Rhymesayers group, that OG Rhymesayers group where, I mean, there's a bunch. Definitive Jux, the fucking... Anticon, like there's a lot of those guys doing, having similar effects on music or hip hop, but I think just the Rhymesayers footprint and what they did with the internet was just a little bit bigger. So I wanted to open up the last half of the list with just not even, not East Coast, not West Coast, not even commercial. Just here's where hip hop was going. You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
just so you know, what I saw this thing and what. Who's Tupac? Who's Biggie? Why'd this happen with Snoop? What's Death Row Records? I would explain that and then be like, but here's also things that were happening. You know what I mean? Like, before you get all wrapped up in that and your mind is too dedicated towards that stuff, there's a whole other fucking form of, a whole other form of the art that came out. And it was fascinating. And that created a whole new culture as well. White boys with their grown-out hair and their fucking backpacks and their headphones and... That backpack rapping, bro, that shit was real, man. I saw a lot of kids really gravitate towards that because how many kids can really, really understand and...
Dude, remember in high school, too, the mix between, like, that group and, like, the goths? Like, the goths also tried to portray a lot of, like, the images that
All that stuff always tripped me out because I used to talk. Like, I don't know those goth girls. I always thought they were super fine. The girls, yeah. The guys were always depressing little fucking freaks.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't deal. But some of the girls were hot for some.
Yeah.
Here's why.
And hella cool too.
Yeah, they were super cool. They weren't overly consumed with like aesthetic. They weren't trying to get hot. But they were also really well-read.
2003.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, the goth chicks back in the day,
right?
They were really well read. They always had a book. They weren't overly consumed with being beautiful or hot.
Yeah, they were kind of fucking cool. Real, yeah.
So like when it comes to the goth shit, I always had like mixed feelings during my time because
I think it would be really cool to have a goth chick come out next as like a big singer. I think that would be dope. Because we haven't seen like a goth girl singer recently, have we?
Amy Lee is so fucking fine. Amy Lee?
Yeah.
I fucking love her.
Dude, we should find somebody like that.
There's probably a 14-year-old who their fun uncle or fun aunt. There's a 13-year-old girl alive right now, and their cool aunt who takes them every weekend is playing fucking Evanescence and what's the fucking...
Florence
and the Machine, like you know what
Florence
I mean.
Florence and
like,
the Machine, yeah.
Even fucking what's the English chick who lost all the weight? She's powerful, man.
Oh, Adele.
It doesn't have the same attitude, but like, there's a cool aunt putting all that into some little girl's ear right now, and she's formulating it all herself. She's a creative mind, and she wants to produce her own thing, and she is going to be the next what Brian's talking about. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
I guarantee that is happening right now.
Yep.
There's a little girl going to get fucking Dairy Queen with her cool ass aunt. Her band smells like cigarettes, but they got the best CDs. Like,
we should breed one of those. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what I mean? I don't think you breed any of that. You just cultivate. You find
it. Right, yeah. You find that.
Yeah, you invest.
Present it to...
Hey, exactly, what can I do to make you do more of what you do best?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's what we were talking about earlier. Brandon was talking about how fucking... Yeah. They're not going to take you. Like, talent just thinks that it's going to come up. When he mentioned that, I was thinking of that... Not the skit, but there's a... The comedians in Cars with Coffee with Seinfeld and Alec Baldwin, where Alec Baldwin talks about that, and he goes, "There's a lot of guys in our business that just think that the TV commission is going to knock on your door one day, and take you along and make you famous and show you all the kind of avenues and what doors that. No, bro, that is not how this works." But I mean, that's what's something so attractive about this free range music business that we're in now, where you can just post and let the market decide, where you don't need an A&R, you don't need a producer. Not really. What did he say? DaBaby just started putting out like unmixed shit and kind of broke the mold and made it so you can kind of put that out without getting shit.
I think it was Juice WRLD.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm just the sentiment.
You would really like Juice WRLD's stuff that he put out on SoundCloud, dude.
I appreciate a lot of stuff. I like very little things.
Did I show you? Did I send you guys Juice WRLD freestyling on that show overseas? Like, he freestyled all Eminem beats for like an hour straight, just straight freestyle.
That's rough. That's
bro, cool. Some of the dopest shit ever. I'll show it to you guys because I don't think I have. But yeah, man, it was, dude, this kid has talent. And then after he did that, he ended up doing that, making that dope ass song with M right before he passed. M was featured in, M got a feature from Juice WRLD, did the hook, the Godzilla one. Yeah, so it was that dope that Eminem recognized it and got him on a hook.
I love when that happens.
You know what I mean? And then he passed away. And to get that love from him, like, that just shows that you're, you know, you're definitely talented. The
artistry was there.
And he just died too soon, and that sucks, man. Rest in peace, Juice WRLD. He was going to be something huge. He really was.
So, we have a few things that we'd like to do / accomplish in 2022. One of those is going to be content on our YouTube channel. We're going to have some reaction videos. Some videos might be just some discussion. We'll have like a few fun things on there.
It might be Brian arguing with the tow truck fucking operator about where his fucking car is.
Oh my God.
That video is so fucking funny, man. That's part of a podcast too. Remember, we were listening to it.
Yeah,
and we're like, and you could hear the beep. When it was happening, we're like, "What the fuck? His car that's got a great towed. What the fuck?" Yeah. And we were tripping out, and we're like, "There's no way we wouldn't have heard a tow truck." And then, dude, re-listens to the episode, and halfway through, you hear beep, beep. And you're like, "How the fuck did we miss that?"
Yeah, that car got freaking towed. Yeah,
that shit is so like that would have been nice, a very, very funny video.
And yeah, and then I hope you still have.
And then Brian's half shit faced, fucking yelling at some poor girl, dude. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you have it recorded, right? Yeah,
super funny.
We should release that somewhere sometime.
Yeah, no. There's definitely enough time to get YouTube.
I mean, that wasn't New Year's, but it's a year in review.
Yeah, we need a YouTube video for or YouTube channel for sure. Oh, I got the Courvoisier hiccups.
Hopefully, some stuff on our TikTok also.
We'll do that.
Oh, yeah. And running shit a bigger on that. Bigger Instagram presence.
Yeah,
much bigger Twitter presence.
Just more.
Right. Exactly.
More. Yeah. Organized and more.
Yep, organized and more. Ready to fucking kill it.
Right.
So that's going to do it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. And we promise bigger and better. Coming very soon.
Yes, Lilo, where can we find you? Where are you at? What you putting out?
Where's that dreaded button?
All the information
that
we need.
That dreaded button.
Yeah, man. Where are you at? Where can we find you, bro?
Where are you?
A lot of people have confused. You know, the whole MaxBet thing, it's MXXBET on all platforms.
You hear that? MXXBET.
Forgot that.
Google it.
Yes.
make sure you check out Fun Uncle and tune in, man. You know what I mean? Don't forget to do that. I'm going to be here as much as I can be, and we're going to take over the world. That's just how it's going to go.
Hell yeah.
So we will catch you all next week.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks.